Oh, wait, so we're up at NOAC at Michigan State University, and I'm here with Shannon Mulligan and Chris Zarovsky, and they're both involved with the venturing program. And so the first thing I'm going to do is, what are your guys' titles in the venturing program?
Yeah, it's very cool. So I'm Shannon, and I am the National Venturing Vice President in the program, yes.
And I'm Chris. I'm the Central Region Advisor and the Chair of Venturing Program Development.
Oh, rock and roll. So my first question is, we'll start with, what do you do outside of the scouting world?
Outside of the scouting world, I actually do a lot. I just graduated high school, but when I was in high school, I did ballet for 14 years. I played lacrosse for about six. I'm a very active hunter. I love to be outdoors, go camping all the time with my friends. And it's just something that I really enjoy, but scouting has definitely been something that's helped me, you know, excel in every program that I've done. But, yeah, outside of scouting, I try to stay active. I'm a part of the National Honor Society, in school, and I'll be going down to New Mexico State University this fall.
Oh, rock and roll. So yeah. Now, yeah, so New Mexico, and that's where you're from? I forgot to ask that.
That's fine. No, yes, sir. No, I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh, rock and roll.
Yes.
Breaking Bad.
Yes.
Is that like the only thing anyone ever associates
yes,
with?
Yes, that's it, actually. That. Yeah. Yep.
No, well, then. Yeah. So what will you study in school?
I'm going to go into organizational development.
Oh, rock and roll.
Yeah.
The high school girl, how did you get involved in the venturing program?
The venturing. Well, I have the very cliche, stereotypical story about how my older brother had been scouting since he was a little tiger cub. He's an Eagle Scout now. But I got to see how much scouting impacted his life and how much fun he'd been having for years and years and years. And I was a little jealous sister, and all I wanted to do was have those opportunities too. So I was able to join venturing when I was 14, and it's been an awesome experience since. So definitely my older brother, he's been the inspiration through it all.
No, so. Rock and roll. So now, before we get into the vice president thing, what are some of the things that you've gotten to do through venturing?
Through venturing? Well, a lot, actually. I've been to Philmont. I've been to the Northern Tier up in Canada. I've been to multiple conferences and trainings. I've been to NAIL and NYLT. But most of all, I've just been able to hang out with my crew mm-hmm. and have fun. And I've been able to travel all over the United States, get to know so many new people, hear amazing stories about their venturing experiences and how it's helped them. But I've just been able to have fun. I've been able to go on backpacking trips for days, and that's truly what I love about the program.
Yeah.
I mean, I can talk to as many people as I would like to, but honestly, it's just going out and having fun. That's why I'm here. It's why I joined. So.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
So, vice president, national vice president.
Yes, sir.
What is the process that got you there? Like, what's the election process like, and how does that all work?
Okay, so in venturing, it's actually a selection process. It's not an election process,
okay.
as opposed to the OA
yeah.
or in scouting, or Boy Scouts. But I had originally started off going to a conference up in Salt Lake City, Utah, just as a participant going up there, and I had met a girl named Malia Ashley, and she was the Area 6 Western Region Venturing President, and she had appointed me as one of her vice presidents of communications, and that's kind of how it all started. So I was the Area 6 Western Region Vice President of Communications, and then I went to being the Area 6 President, and then a Western Region Vice President of Program, and then now National Venturing Vice.
Wow.
So
yeah. What is your job as the Vice President?
So I have a couple different things that I do, but the biggest one is that I head up the Design and Development Task Force along here with Chris. He's the chair for it, and I'm the youth. And a lot of what we do is we just travel around the United States and get to hear what the youth want to be changed in the program and how their opinions can better impact it.
Yeah.
So we definitely try to hear as many opinions as we can about changes that they want to see. But a lot of what I do is I head up that task force and I'm able to change the program and make it a better one for the youth.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what's your term?
So it's June 1st, 2015 to May 31st, 2016.
Oh, so you're still pretty fresh into your
yes. term.
So you have a lot of experience ahead of you.
Yes, I do. I it's only been about 2 months, 2-3 months.
Wow.
So it's been a crazy ride, but got a while to go. So
in that 2 months, where have all you gotten to go to so far?
I've been able to go to Dallas so far. Venturing wise, actually, it's been kind of a slow summer for venturing wise. Yeah, it's because we were just starting it. But now I'm here at NOAC, which is an incredible experience. I've never seen anything this big ever. So yeah, shout out to the OA for being awesome, because this is so cool. This is so cool here. But yeah, I've been to Dallas, and I was the SPL for my NYLT course this year.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I'm headed to St. Louis soon, mm-hmm. Tennessee. Will be a lot of places. So
awesome.
Yeah.
So really quick, Chris, let's hear a little bit about you.
I am honored to be an advisor to such an amazing person.
And you're an adult advisor.
I am. I've been through the program though since I was 6 years old. So
and that's a volunteer position?
It is a volunteer mm-hmm. position.
Rock and roll. So what is your life outside of scouting?
Wait, there's life outside of scouting? Wait a second. I thought we were only promised 1 hour a week of freedom.
Yeah.
No, I'm just joking. We do work quite a bit. It's where other positions in scouting may only be, you know, hey, I'll carve out some time tonight after dinner, or I'll do, you know, we have a meeting on Thursday. We do stuff every day. So I try to work all of my fun activities and my hobbies into what we do for scouting. So travel has become a real big hobby of mine, and seeking out amazing restaurants. I'm a big fan of finding those little cool places that really help set apart that city's culture. We went to a place last night, and it was real cool. Had some sandwiches that we've never had before.
Here in Lansing?
Here in Lansing.
Is it just off the campus?
It is.
What was the name of the place?
Olga's Place.
Oh, yeah, it was like Olga's Kitchen.
Or Olga's Kitchen, yes. Yeah.
I may have eaten there before.
It was really
so good.
Incredibly tasty.
These, like, steak sandwich pita wrap things.
I've been there.
And we try to avoid chains and try to experience it. And for those that are listening, and thank you for listening, Olga's is a chain, but
you're from the Chicagoland.
I am.
That's the home of my favorite restaurant.
What's your favorite?
Giordano's.
Oh, amazing deep dish.
What town do you live in?
I live in Willowbrook.
Okay.
About 13 miles southwest of Chicago.
Yeah. So. Well, rock and roll. We've discussed before, I have a good friend from your guys' council. I know that now there's merger happening, or has happened, and everything's kind of changing, but from the former Des Plaines Valley, he's a district executive there. So
yeah, very much so. He's a good man.
Yeah. Well, how did you get appointed to your position?
I try to remain very, very humble about it, but I happen to be a past youth officer.
So I
grew up through venturing.
Yeah.
I was around when it was first created. I was the second Central Region president, and I served as an area advisor for 12 years. Became the Central Region advisor, and they really liked that we had product of the program, you know, being mm-hmm. a part of what we're doing and helping create what we're doing for the next 20 years and beyond. So honored to have that position from the background I have.
Well, rock and roll. So, what's next?
What's next?
Yeah.
Oh, a lot. I don't know. We're all still in the thinking about it. But venturing-wise, what's next venturing? Honestly, just seeking out some more adventures.
Yeah.
I'm just here to talk to the youth and hang out and have fun. Help them as much as I possibly can. It's the venturing crews that are out here that have given me these opportunities. So I want to make the program better for them, and I hope to do that for as long as I can. The program has given me so much, and all I want to do is give back to it. So that's what's next for me.
Well, you know, in my district, we've been looking at venturing at other aspects besides just the high adventure aspect. So we're looking at, you know, youth groups and mm-hmm. Hobby-based crews. Where I know we've tried to work a little bit with the Bowling Alley to try and have, like, we were looking at having bowling crews where they'd be like a bowling team and they could compete against other crews in the area, and that's kind of getting off the ground. But then the thing that we think has the most promise is STEM.
Yes.
And having STEM-based venture crews, whether it be like a robotics team, or if they're, you know, like basically like a science club or whatever they're doing. We just see a lot of value in that. And that's what I like about the venturing program is I can go in and say, you know, it's really whatever you want to do with the program.
Exactly.
You know, and we have, you know, you can go by the book, you know, but if you want to have a youth program and have the backing of the BSA, you really can form it to what you want. So
yeah. Yeah, and that we love that aspect about it. I mean, we've been talking to people all week about venturing, and it's not just, I mean, it is high adventure, but you can do so much with, you know, app design or computer programs. There's so much that you can do in venturing, and I think that's how we're hooking them, is there. It's like, oh, wow, I can do what I want to do in this program, and I think that's starting to be realized by a lot of the youth here, so that's awesome.
We're rocking and roll. So I do have three questions that we ask everybody.
Okay.
The first question is, what is your favorite current TV show?
My favorite current TV show? Does it have to be, like, playing now, like, live? Like can it be one that the season's already been over?
What are you thinking?
Friends?
Now, so do you remember watching Friends on TV?
Yes.
Okay, but, like, probably... You're just getting out of high school, so Friends ended like 2003.
So my mom used to watch it a lot.
Okay.
So I mean, I was six at that time. I was six, so maybe not too appropriate, but for a 6 year old.
I remember watching Friends as a kid because I mean I graduated in 2006, so like when Friends went off the air, that was like when I was in high school. So I grew up watching Friends.
Yes.
And I remember watching the season finale where Ross said Rachel at the altar.
Yes.
And then it cuts to commercial, and I'm like, no, it's a 2 hour episode.
Yeah.
Like, and my mom goes, yeah, it's done. Like, that's, and I thought there was going to be another hour, like, and that's not how they were going to end it for the summer.
Yeah.
And to me, that was, like, the craziest thing. And we had to wait that entire summer to figure out what happened.
It broke your heart. I know. I got the entire series for Christmas.
On DVD?
I have,
nice.
And the extras and everything. And that, I watched all 10 seasons and the extras in, like, a two-week span.
Well, that show pretty much holds up.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, there's some stuff where, like... There's an episode where Chandler gets a new computer and
yes.
he talks about all the additions that it has.
Uh-huh.
And that's like, it's just pales in comparison to anything that we have today. But for the most part, that show holds up. The one thing I have noticed is if you watch the early episodes of Friends, I feel like all the friends look older than they do in the last episode.
Yes, I agree. 100%.
And I think that's a 90s fashion thing.
I do too. Oh gosh, fashion repeats itself though, so we're all doomed.
Well, Chris, what's your favorite TV show?
Oh, if we're going kind of in the recent past, I'm going to go Lost.
ABC's Lost. I would say the first two seasons of Lost.
Okay.
That was like the best. That was the best television. And then the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth season happened. And now, some of the best episodes are in those later seasons.
Oh, heck yeah.
But I don't know if the narrative was as tight in
I'll
the
give
later
you that.
Seasons.
I'll give you that.
You know,
I describe it kind of to anybody that I'm, because I'm a big fan of the show, so I want people to watch it. I know Shannon's watched them too.
Yes.
But it's kind of like a roller coaster. So those first three seasons ish, you're going on the uphill.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, right around the midpoint of the third season, which there's a writer's strike, which actually happened, and they realized that they needed to put a bookend on the series. They can't just keep writing, you know, forever and ever. And so then we finally came back down, and then it started going through the loops and going through all the exciting parts.
Well, when they announced after the third season they were only doing three more seasons, I thought that was perfect because we knew it wasn't going to go on forever and that we would try and get some closure. Yeah. I can't say we got closure with everything.
No.
But
I
don't know if I... There's some things where it's nice to always have that mystery. Have you seen... J.J. Abrams, who was...
Yes.
He was a huge part of that show.
Very much so.
He did a TED Talk.
Yes.
And he talks about the mystery box.
Yes.
And then once you get inside the box... You know, if you figure out what's in the box, it's no longer the mystery. It's no longer fun.
Exactly.
That show is a perfect example of it.
Yes.
Hands down.
And there's things where they kind of... answered it, but you still don't know exactly why it all fit together.
There was nothing definitive. Exactly.
Yeah.
they gave you a good guessing point, but like, what's the smoke monster? I mean, we get to see how that's made, but really,
well, it's like,
what is it?
When they're like, oh, the smoke monster is a guy, and they're like, wait a minute, like,
no.
What?
And while that was live, it was awesome. It was the coolest water cooler type show, you know, and people were all over online. And, you know, because he never got physically named in the show, people were calling him, you know, different names like Man in Black and stuff like that. So,
and that was Titus Welliver.
Good memory.
He's on S.H.I.E.L.D. sometimes. He's in Ben Affleck movies. He pops up from time to time.
And he has a commercial or two. So,
And then the guy who played Jacob was the stepdad on Dexter.
Yes.
So, or he might have been the real dad. He was the real dad. Yes. Dexter. But, that was one of those shows I was sucked into all the time. Like, every episode. But my favorite episode was The Constant.
Oh, when Desmond. I mean, that's...
When Desmond and Penn.
Desmond Penn.
And that was the joke every time I would go on an airplane. I had a friend, and we would watch Lost, and then I'd be like, hey, you're going to be The Constant. You know, man,
that's awesome.
Lost. I haven't talked about that show in forever. Okay, so, what's your dream job?
My dream job? Oh, shoot. My dream job. So, I'm an employee at Eddie Bauer right now. It's like an outdoor clothing company.
Yeah.
That's not my dream job. But, it's an outdoor clothing company, and I love going hiking and backpacking, and I would love to be the people or the person that gets to try out the new product and just go up, hike up mountains and their product to test it out and see how fantastic it is and just take cool pictures. And that, like, either that or taking pictures for National Geographic, dream job, but one of those two, just where I can be outside.
Well, would you want to be the one taking pictures of like mountainsides or the one taking pictures of like up polar bear like 3 feet away from him?
Oh, both.
Really?
Yes.
Like, I don't want to be around any animals.
No? Oh, I so would. Landscape pictures are cool, but if you can capture something that's very unique in that moment,
we'll rock and roll. Chris?
Oh, man. Anthony Bourdain, man. I would love to be him. He travels.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, he travels and he produces a travel show on formerly the Travel Channel and now on CNN. Mm-hmm. And he goes around and eats good food, meets great people, experiences great culture, and probably has definitely what I would say my dream job is. So.
I like watching him. He's a good personality because, like, he's not a likable guy.
Right, right.
And I think that's awesome.
He does. He gets sassy from time to time, and he's real, though. I mean, there's no front for TV. So.
Well, rock and roll. So the last question, if you could meet anybody, dead, alive, fictional, it can be anybody, and you're going to have a meal with them, who would you meet and what would you eat?
Oh, goodness gracious. I know the food I would eat.
I don't. What would you eat?
I would want to eat a muffin with them.
A muffin. Oh, wait, so you want to eat a muffin?
Yes. Because I think you can tell a lot by a person on how they eat a muffin.
Well, there's more there.
So there's the people that eat the bottom of the muffin first or the top of the muffin first. I'm the kind of person that eats the bottom of the muffin first, but that's because I like to enjoy food and I like to save the best for last. But there's people who are very impatient and only eat the top first, and I think that... I think that tells a lot about a person if you eat the top of the muffin first, because that's the best part. Eat it from the side.
And they get like bottom and top.
I think that's just weird.
Oh.
Who does that?
That's how I would probably eat a muffin. I would never think to separate the two.
Oh, I've always separated the two.
Oh.
I don't understand the whole like taking a bite like cupcakes. I can't eat cupcakes like that either. I have to eat it from either top or the bottom.
Well, the frosting's on the top of the cupcake.
Yeah, but frosting's gross. I just like.
So then you just make it into a muffin.
That's why I said I need a muffin with them.
Not a cupcake.
Well, that's way more interesting than finding out who you'd actually want to meet. That's
the person who invented a blueberry muffin. There you go. That's who I have no idea.
Have you seen the episode of Seinfeld where they do top of the muffin to you?
No.
It's a restaurant that only serves muffin tops. But then,
oh my gosh.
But then they have all these bags full of the stems, and they don't know what to do.
That sounds like heaven.
It's one of my favorites.
Oh my! I need to go watch that.
So. Yes.
I have no idea who I would meet, though. I have no idea.
Oh, well.
Sorry.
Well, I'm much more interested in the muffin stories.
That's good.
So, Chris.
Oh, man. It sounds lame, and I'd probably do Anthony Bourdain. I feel like he'd be great company. I think that's – you can tell a lot when you have dinner or any sort of meal with somebody. Shannon kind of captured it, like how they eat and what they eat. But, I mean, I'm sure he's filled with so many stories and crazy happenings across his way. As far as the food – I don't care. I really, you know, I want it to be something that I've never had before, and something that isn't mass produced, and it's got love, and it's got a whole story behind it, where somebody's family, somebody really worked hard and put a lot of passion and craft into it to make that meal for you. I think that says so much from somebody. Yeah,
when you talk about, you can tell a lot from a person by how they eat. I've heard of job interviews where people will ask, like, how would you eat a Happy Meal? So if a person says, like, I would eat the cheeseburger and then the fries and then the soda and then the, you know, and then the play with the toy. Or, you know, that means that as a worker, they probably get one task done and then they get another task. But if they're saying, like, oh, well, I just take a bite of everything and then, you know, then there's someone who's doing, you know what I mean? Like, I'm one who I'm working on, like, four things at the same time.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But there are people who they get done with the one project and they move on to the next one, or they, you know, and so I've heard that in job interviews, people have asked that question.
That's a good question.
That's a very good question.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, thank you guys for taking a little bit out of your day to talk with me. And good luck in your travels. Thank you for the time that you guys are putting in to this program, because especially seeing a lot of these OA guys, knowing what their life is like going out every weekend and having to juggle college or their job and doing OA events every weekend at, you know, where they have to fly to places. And that's a really, that can be a really stressful thing, and it's a really big thing. So thank you guys, and we'll talk with you guys soon.
Yeah, thank you.